You're listening to episode 37 of the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast, Chin Up Mama with Amy Seifert. Prosper, flourish, bloom with your people, your close-knit group, your clan, straight out of area code 419, with the most cutting-edge, controversial, and enlightening information from the most knowledgeable experts in everything, mind, body, and soul. Welcome to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. I'm your host, Rose Hollow. Hello, Tribe. I hope you are well. By the time you listen to this, our first holistic health fair will be under our belts, and I hope that we got to meet there. If we did, thank you for attending. Before we get started with today's interview, I would like to let you know about another great event that's happening this coming weekend on April 21st. And if you're a regular listener of this podcast, you probably have heard my husband, Matt Hollow, speak about emotional freedom techniques, which is called EFT or EFT tapping or acupressure tapping for your emotions. He is teaming up with Dr. Jenny Flaghar, an integrative doctor in Perrysburg, and they are putting on a class called EFT Tapping for Teachers. And I think this is a great opportunity not only for teachers, but for anyone who works with kids and for parents, because I know how much EFT tapping has helped my husband and I up our parenting game at home. I just think this is a great opportunity for anyone who's interested in tapping, and especially for people that are in helping professions for kids to learn how to use this very simple, straightforward technique, very effective technique. And you get a lot of information and some resources for not very much cost. So I'm going to read you a little bit about this. Let's see. They are going to talk about EFT tapping and how you can teach it to students to help improve focus, reduce anxiety, anger, and more. Just in time for finals, this interactive workshop includes demos of EFT tapping and full color handouts. Participants will also learn the origins, benefits, and research behind EFT tapping and how you can use it for your own self-care. If you work with kids and you get frustrated, you can use this for yourself too. The workshop is only $15. It's for 2 hours of information and working on EFT, learning how to do it yourself. So it's kind of like an introduction to EFT, and then you'll actually be able to use it during the class and try it out. If you would like to sign up for this workshop, you can go to phlegmed.com/events, and I'll spell phlegmed for you because it's a little bit different. It's phlegmed.com/events. Or you can just show up and pay at the door on the day of the class. The class is being held at PhlegMed. That's at 140 West Front Street in Perrysburg. So if you would like more information about this class, you can actually go to Deep Roots Wellness on Facebook, and there is an event posted on that Facebook page, and you can find all the information about that. Or you can go to phlegmed.com, phlegmed.com. Okay, now I would like to introduce our guest. This is somebody I have kind of known for a while. She was an online mama buddy of mine, and we both belong to the same local holistic moms support group on Facebook. And I was kind of intrigued and excited when she announced that she was publishing a book, and I got myself a free sample of her book from Amazon and read the introduction and the first chapter, and I really liked what I read. And on this podcast, we talk about holistic health. We talk about mind, body, and soul, right? But we have really neglected the soul, or other people say spiritual part of that holistic health trifecta. So I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I know a lot of people have been hurt by religion, are turned off by religion, have had bad experiences with religion, and the religion and spiritual thing kind of go hand in hand. I don't think you have to be religious to be spiritual, but I know a lot of times in order to get help in your spiritual growth, you may need to seek some religion to kind of get a path laid out, maybe a path of exploration, so to speak. So we're going to go there just a little bit. I'm pre-warning you all that Amy's book that she talks about is of the Christian faith. I also want to let you know that she is extremely open-minded about this, and while she is a very religious person herself, she is not what I would describe as a heavy-handed evangelist. I think that she is more of an encourager, and she's excited about her faith, and it's part of her life, so it's going to be part of her story. And she hopes that other people will find some spiritual healing, and you know, she has admitted that she's on a journey too. She doesn't have all the answers, but she is willing to walk that walk with other people. So that's kind of what she's about. So Amy pulls you in with her storytelling and down-to-earth insights. Weaving biblical wisdom through her presentations, Amy takes you for a ride and drops you off back home filled up with truth, love, and hope. Relatable, funny, and a bit provocative, Amy has the uncanny ability to articulate what so many are thinking about in their daily lives. She inspires, teaches, and humbly relates to the mystery and messiness of life. I think all of us moms can relate to that. There is one consistent theme throughout all of Amy's conversations, and that is her hope in Christ. With Amy, you will not find bumper sticker slogans, but a comfortability and the complexities of life where questions are more often obvious than answers. And I love that about her, that she's willing to admit that there are more questions than answers. Amy is also the first to admit that she's on the journey herself and invites any willing spiritual pilgrim to walk alongside her in the pursuit of truth and the knowledge of God. So I hope that anyone out there who has been harmed by religion, has been turned off by religion, but is seeking some spirituality in their lives, that they will listen to this interview with an open mind and maybe read her book and see if there are any insights there that are for you. And if it's not, that's okay, because not everybody fits into the same category, and not every pig fits into the same hole. But I wanted to go there. I wanted to start to talk about this part of our holistic health that we really haven't talked enough about yet. So I hope that you all enjoy this interview, especially you moms out there. And I just wanted to let you all know that I think the underlying theme behind all of this is just kind of, you know, just doing it anyway, you know, just showing up as a mom, even when it's hard. And it's interesting because when Amy came onto the conference call to record this interview, she and I both had a pretty hard day. And we kind of talked about that a little bit before our interview. And but we showed up anyway, and it actually turned out pretty well. So I'm happy to share this with you, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Hey there. How are you, Amy?
I'm great. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I am very excited to have you here and talk about what you do and your book and all that good stuff. But the first question I always ask everyone on this podcast is, how are you thriving in the 419?
Yes, I love that question. I think it's great. Yeah, how am I thriving? Well, I don't know if you're familiar with Pio, which is this like Pilates yoga business.
Yes, I tried it once.
That's kind of saving my life right now. It's been so good for my shoulder that's healing from a pinched nerve, all the details. But so Pio is how I'm thriving. Also, just getting some good truth and perspective with my coffee every morning before my three crazy kiddos come downstairs. And then I have a few close friends that keep me grounded, keep me laughing, help me be lighthearted. That's kind of how I'm thriving in the 419.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times we overlook that community aspect. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because we all need to reach out a little bit more, I think, and get support and have some fun and share some friendship and share some fun. That's a good thing to do.
Yes. Not feel so alone, right?
Yes. That's exactly why I have you here on this podcast, because I think you're a good person to kind of talk about that. And I want to touch on the motherhood aspect as well, because we're both moms, and I know I have a lot of listeners who are moms. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into that subject tonight, and I'm really excited to go there. But let's talk about just generally, what is your book about? And I'm really interested to hear how you came up with the title of Chin Up.
Oh, yeah. Well, my book is on motherhood. It's called Chin Up, Wearing Grace, Strength, and Dignity When Motherhood Unravels Our Souls. Right? The unraveling. But chin up is this just little phrase that my dad used to use with my sister and I. I remember a lot of times when we would fall or, I don't know, make a mistake when we were little, my dad would pull us over and we would sit with him and we'd be crying and he'd be comforting us. And I remember specifically falling in like a little t-ball game and he's holding me. And I knew when he would say chin up to me, it wasn't like out of frustration, like pull yourself, you know, up by your bootstraps. It was like, all right, chin up, baby doll. And it's time to get back into the game. And so it was just this really sweet and tender sort of perspective shift for us that we knew there was a time to be sad. But then when he said chin up, it was a time to get some strength and head back out there and get to it. And so it made me think, yeah, as moms, right? You know, we need some encouragement. We need to know that we need a perspective shift so often, and to gain some strength, some grace, and dignity, we can head back into that game. So it just really spoke to me when I thought about what mothers might need to know. You know, chin up, girls. We can do this.
Yes. Yeah, it's about resilience and kind of getting in the game again. I love that thought and how that was used in a kind of comforting and encouraging way. Yes. As opposed to just, you know, just get over it. Just, you know, shrug it off like a lot of people do in kind of a colder way. So I like that take on it.
Yeah, it's very tenderhearted. And then it felt like when you are a woman and you're in a dress that you feel really good in, you can have your chin up as well in dignity because you're confident, you know who you are. And it made me think about how we wear our motherhood and how we want to have our chin up. And so I kind of carry a motherhood dress theme throughout Chin Up and talk about how, I can feel like motherhood is this frumpy dress that doesn't look so good on me. And it's falling off and it's exposing things that I don't want exposed, like anger issues and all kinds of things. And to watch how, from my spiritual growth perspective, how God will help us have our chin up in our motherhood and wear our motherhood with grace, strength, and dignity.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're saying motherhood has kind of brought out in you some, I don't know, I don't want to say uglier things, but more uncomfortable, like things that you wouldn't normally show to other people, that kind of brings that out. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. Yes. Yes. Comfortable, weakness, shortcomings. Yeah, I just felt like I looked around and I saw my friends wear motherhood really well. Like it looked beautiful on them. And then when I became a mom, I felt like a hot mess, like not looking good. I didn't expect to find so many places of weakness and incompetence in a lot of ways. And I just felt like, what is going on? I felt very competent in my job. But then when I was home with my babies, I felt like this is a new weakness that I've got to learn to walk through.
Yeah. And that is another thing that I wanted to ask you about, because I know a lot of moms, after talking to moms like in the Toledo Holistic Moms group and some other online groups that I'm in, I've kind of seen this idea that like, I'm the only one who's failing. You're all getting it right. And I'm not. Why? And do you think that social media, like not seeing each other face to face and not being involved in people's lives directly, do you think that that plays into that feeling of like shame and feeling that I'm not doing as well as she is in this motherhood game? Why am I falling behind? Everybody else's lives look so great and mine doesn't. What do you think about that?
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I think social media. I think comparison has just ramped up, because now you can't just only compare to like your two neighbors on either side, but now we have the whole world at our fingertips. And not only that, but we can present our curated lives, you know, we can only show what we want instead of, like you're saying, being in the trenches with each other day in, day out, and seeing like the messy house and the messy hair and, you know, just the normal life. I think that perfection is shown and ramped up all around you. You think that's the ideal and it's not. And we're shaming one another through that, or we feel shame. We feel like we don't measure up. And so it feels like that gap has gotten much bigger, because we've amplified the perfection that we show.
So do you feel like this generation of moms has a harder time than previous generations because we have social media now? Maybe we're a little bit more isolated than maybe our mom or our grandmother's generations?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Social media, you know, it can wreak some havoc. And I think it is harder, because in some ways it's harder because we have so much comparison. We have this people looking perfect and only showing the parts that they want you to see. But on the other hand, you and I are using social media right now to speak truth and perspective and encouragement. And so we're taking that and breathing goodness into the world. And so there's some beauty there. So I feel like my mom is like, man, I didn't have the access to all, you know, the blogs and the sisterhood that you see and all those things. So, you know, there's beauty there, but yeah. I make the stakes much higher.
Right. I totally agree. I think there's definitely benefits. And you know, the moms groups that I do belong to have benefited me in so many ways as well. I would never want to give them up, because I feel like the wisdom, like the collective wisdom and experience there.
Yes.
Is so valuable and so helpful.
Yeah.
But the other side of that is the comparison trap. So
two sides of the coin, right?
Right. And I think it helps to really keep that in mind when you're using social media, that you're, like you said, I love the way you described of like using a curated on, you know, like you're choosing to show the best parts of yourself and not really showing all the messy stuff. So
yeah. So I appreciate even, you know, when you see like hashtag real talk and people are, you know, just showing their daily life. I like some of that movement, of like, we're just, let's be real. Let's not be all, you know, you can choose your filter and all the things. And I'm totally guilty. Like there are, I love good beauty and good art, and I've shown like beautiful things, but you know, we just have to have perspective in the middle of all of it. And like you said, be with people in our daily lives, like just be with real people and do real things and step into real mess and balance it all out. You know, don't live through social media. Yeah.
And I don't know if this is true for you, but I have to actually schedule time with other people because I won't do it if I don't have it in my calendar and plan it ahead of time. Yes. Do you do that too?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't you feel like as a mom and we've got other things going on, obviously. Yes. I feel like if I don't put it in there, schedule time for self-care and soul care in so many ways, it's not going to happen. It's not just going to show up in my life, right? I have to fight for that. I have to fight to create margin and rest and space. So yes, I am with you. I schedule the good things.
Awesome. I think it's necessary in our crazy lives these days to actually put it on the calendar.
Oh yeah. Yep. No shame.
So what is the best advice that you would give to another mom out there who's feeling, and I don't know, I know you cover a lot of this in your book. So if you want to share something from your book, that's fine. Or something just off the top of your head right now. But what would you tell somebody who came to you and said they were feeling really defeated in motherhood or isolated or depressed? And I know that your book is has a religious tone. Mm-hmm. So if you want to bring some of your own personal beliefs into that, that would be fine too.
Totally. Yes. Great question. Cause I feel like even those words like depressed or isolated, defeated, I mean, that's real. One of the chapters in my book, is called Step Outside. And just this notion that when we're inside our house, and maybe we've been inside our house for days, cooped up for whatever reason, and it's getting stuffy in there, and we're looking at the same carpet, and we're inward. When you step outside your backyard, you gain perspective, you get a fresh of breath air, and you look up and you see the world is way bigger than what you've been viewing. And so this idea of stepping outside to get perspective, to gain some hope or some truth, because I think there's a lot of lies floating around our culture. And so I talk about in that chapter that if we step outside of it all and gain perspective, then we can come back in to our normal daily life and we can give love and we can give hope and we can give joy. And so stepping outside could come in a variety of ways, right? You could step outside and get counseling, get a perspective shift, or I struggle with depression. And so stepping outside of that and maybe getting medicine or thinking through how you're going to cope with those things, or stepping outside and, like you said, scheduling time with a friend, and you're outside of your world, you're outside of your head. But that face to face with maybe an older mom who's gone before you, and yeah, as a spiritual bent, maybe she'll speak truth into your life or even pray for you or share her struggles. So I feel like if we can get outside, if that translates, it makes sense.
Yes. And like literally we can go outside now because I'm hoping that yesterday was the last day we'll see a snowflake for a really long time.
What is going on in the 419?
I don't know. I was ready to move yesterday when it was snowing. Same. We're recording this on April 10th. So on April 9th, it was snowing like crazy.
Yes.
And yeah, I hope by the time this podcast is published, it's going to be warm outside and all the flowers will be in bloom and my allergies will be going crazy and I'll be so thankful.
We have a little praise. Praise. Yep.
Yeah, you're right. And I think especially in the winters in Northwest Ohio, it is really hard to kind of rise above that feeling of isolation because we really are stuck inside and, you know, we can live in a neighborhood with neighbors 100 yards away and never see them.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's so much easier to do in the spring. What would you suggest people do during bad weather? Because that is a really hard thing where we live.
Yep. I actually, I think it's in Shauna Nyquist's book, Present Over Perfect. She talks about the idea of getting outside every day, even if for 5 to 10 minutes, no matter what the weather is. To just, again, I think that perspective shift, but also to just see things are way bigger. And there's other things happening besides, you know, whatever's going on in your living room. Maybe it's raining, maybe it's freezing, whatever, but it just, you can breathe in some fresh air and just have a moment with nature if you can. Mm-hmm. And I think some of my most favorite times in nature have been outside when snow is falling and it's quiet and I'm on a path and it's just good.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Winter walk.
So I know that when you write a book like yours, that personal experiences have to influence what you're writing. Mm-hmm. I would like to hear about any personal events or difficult experiences or circumstances that inspired you to write the book. Mm-hmm. What those were and how your personal faith plays into how you got through those circumstances in your book?
Yes. Great question. It's definitely born out of just my story. It's interesting. I don't really talk a ton about this, but we struggled with infertility for a total of 4 years. Mm-hmm. And then now we have 3 kids. So I came from a place of really hoping and praying for babies. And then when I became a mom, it was way harder than I expected. And so I think
I can totally identify with that story 100%.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think too, because in my job before becoming a mom, I felt very competent. I was in campus ministry and I was working with sorority and fraternity men and women and having fast-paced spiritual conversations and just felt like that was a niche in what I was made for. And then coming home and everything is slower. You're dealing with a lot of poop. You know, you're just in it. You're with dishes. You're with mom. And it became so pedestrian to me. And I thought, wow, this is really like, what am I doing? And so
this thing that I hoped and prayed for so long, is not as great as I expected.
It's not glamorous, you know, nope. Instagram was telling me it was, and it's not.
Right.
And so I think one of the biggest, propellers into writing Chin Up was actually, I took a theological course, a seminary course that was called Everyday Spirituality. And some of the perspective shifts from that were directly into motherhood for me. That even just the everyday daily maintaining and sustaining of my home felt really ordinary. My professor shifted the lens to say, like, this isn't ordinary. When you maintain and sustain your world, when you're changing diapers over and over and you're folding laundry over and over, this is actually spiritual work. Like, we are in God's image. Like, we are like God when we do that, because he, he raises the sun and sets the sun over and over. The waves and the ocean, I mean, the tide comes in and comes out and comes every day. He keeps the world spinning and breath in our lungs. Like, he does, he put the world into motion and then maintains and sustains it. And we did too. Like, we birthed our little world and now we're maintaining and sustaining. And so it just gave a lot of hope of like, oh, moms aren't second class in this situation here. Like, we are like God. So just even, there was a lot of that kind. That's just like a piece of that perspective that helped shift How I saw my children, my little people that are raising, my little arrows that we're going to be launching, and the beauty of that. So sort of my journey of shifting what I saw as spiritual work and not spiritual work, and what that looked like. So that's a little
that
bit.
That reminds me of a Buddhist saying. It's by Lao Tzu, and it's, I hope I say this right. Before enlightenment, chopping wood and carrying water. After enlightenment, chopping wood and carrying water. It reminds me of that. I think it's the same concept of, yeah, you know, you still do the same thing, but you just see it in a different way.
That is so, that's exactly, that hits it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're doing the same thing, but when your perspective shifts, it's a new ball game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
So that was your inspiration for the book?
Yeah, excuse me. That was my inspiration. And then I also, I mean, I tell different stories, and I really wanted to be very real and expose my weakness and be okay with that, knowing that the goal of being a mom isn't to be perfect. The goal is to find strength in God. There's that spiritual component. But I tell some real stories. I tell some anger moments. I'm a recovering, I've got some anger management going on.
Okay.
So I talk about throwing a boombox into the snow. That was my husband's, and he came home to that because I was just, you know, I blew a gasket, and just to talk about those situations and what that looks like in my motherhood and what that looks like in my life, and how camp counseling and getting some tools in my tool belt helps me through, you know, moments where you're really frustrated and you're angry and you're dealing with expectations that have not been met. And what that looks like.
And I wonder if that was difficult for you to publish such a public story about yourself, all those very personal and kind of raw moments.
Yes. Oh yeah, Rose, the moment it was launch day when the book went out into the world and there was no stopping it. I thought, what have I done?
Like, yeah,
I am exposing and revealing. And it really sort of like was the rubber to the road. Like, I'm going to live out what I'm talking about in my book, that we can walk in grace and strength and dignity and trust that God will cover our weakness when we expose it. And we're going to be fine because we're not called to be perfect moms. We're called to love and do things by faith, hope, and love. And it's going to be fine because of God's grace in those times. So,
yeah. So how was it? Did people react to it? And were people surprised? People that you knew, were they surprised that you were so candid about your stories or,
yeah.
How did that go? How was that for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yes, I've been in a book club for going on 17 years now. And my book club read my book for one of our months, and
that'd be tough.
Yes. And my mom and my aunt are in the book club.
Oh my.
Oh yeah. And a lot of
so
them,
not only were they reading it, but they were discussing it in front of you.
Oh yeah. Yep. Talk about vulnerability, right?
Right.
Yes. So a lot of them were like, whoa, I had no idea that you have anger issues or that you thought this way about life, or you used to think motherhood was not spiritual at all. Or, you know, like there was a lot of like, whoa. And I think because they would only see me in, you know, book club settings, or like they weren't in my house as I'm mothering. And so it was almost like we're talking about with the social media, like it was saying, here it all is, this is not curated. In fact, this is raw and real. But I was compelled because I felt like, if we're not going to be real, what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And we need realness, and then we need encouragement and perspective. And so it has gone really well. I mean, Chin Up, it continues to be free in the world. It continues to sell. And I mean, I get messages. It's so humbling all the time of people I don't know that, you know, quote chapters, like these words freed me up. And I know, I mean, there's nothing better. It's like,
I have goosebumps right now. I just think that's amazing.
Yes, it really is. It's yeah. So I'm floored and I'm humbled and I'm really thankful, because one of my hopes was that people who are even on the edges of spirituality, like I'm hoping that anybody on wherever they are in their spiritual journey could pick up Chin Up and could feel like it's accessible to them. Even as I'm talking about the Bible, that they would feel like they don't need to know anything, but that I would be explaining some of these things as we go through the chapters.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you about that too. Speaking of religion, how does your book appeal to readers who aren't necessarily Christian or faithful or even religious? I remember you posting something online about that, how the book could be accessible and useful to people who maybe don't consider themselves religious. So can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yes, totally, absolutely. My heart is to have people who might never want to step inside a church door for all kinds of reasons, because there's hurt there, or there's fear or whatever, that if they were to pick up Chin Up, it would feel like they could take some steps forward spiritually. So, yes, I have several friends who aren't Christians, who have read my book and have quoted back to me these places where they feel like they just love, they identified with, they were encouraged. And I've even had some people say, I don't believe what you believe, but I found myself laughing out loud and identifying with you, and I was thankful. And so that's huge. There are some comments I've gotten that have said, like, you've restored my hope in thinking about the Bible as like an accessible book. Mm-hmm. So it does seem like the style that I wrote it is, I keep using the word accessible, but that's what it's doing, which is, just a dream for me.
Right. And I have felt so, I would say, uncomfortable talking about religion on this podcast, because I know so many people personally that have been hurt by religion, by religious leaders, by people who practice certain religions. But on the other hand, I feel like when we're talking about holistic health, we need to talk about the spiritual aspect as well. I think that there's some sort of spirituality for everybody. And I think there are some nuances to that. And this, we don't have time to get into that in this episode.
Right.
But I think that there is a place for healing from hurt, because real good religion, I think the real stuff, the real faithful spiritual stuff is healing. It's helpful. It's loving. It's accepting. It's equally accessible to everyone. And I think that's how it should be. And I consider myself a Christian, but I'm pretty progressive. And I'm accepting of and have adopted a lot of other religious ideas as well in my life. But I know that a lot of people never get to that point where they even feel comfortable. Maybe they've had a bad experience and they just never feel comfortable going back there again. Yeah. And I think that's so unfortunate, because I feel like the spiritual aspect is essential.
Absolutely.
At least it has been for me. That's just my personal angle. And I don't feel like it has to be a certain religion. But they all come down to living in love, and respecting one another. And, so I think it's really important to talk about these things. And I do hope that people read your book. I've started reading your book. I think it's great. I love your tone and kind of the willingness to look at things with a little bit of humor, and the way that you've really you've made sort of a confession to the rest of us about, you know, you dropped some truth bombs and talked about how motherhood really is. And I really like that about your book. And I like how you weave some spirituality and religion into there. And, you know, I think people really can take it or leave it. But yeah, I just hope people out there consider that aspect of their lives as well. Because we talk about the kind of a lot of psychology and mind health stuff. And we talk a lot about a lot of body health, but the spiritual aspect is really, it's been tough for me to figure out how to come at that. So yeah. I think this was a really good way to start to have that conversation on this podcast. And I really am thankful that you were here to talk about this.
I am so thankful you invited me, for sure. I feel like I agree with all you're saying. That's awesome.
Awesome. Well, please tell us how we can connect with you online, where we can find your website, where we can buy your book. I know that I got a free sample of your book on Amazon, which is awesome.
So fun. Yes. Amazon is where you can get my book. You can, it's also at Books A Million online and Barnes & Noble online, but Amazon is obviously easy and great. And then on social media, I'm Amy Seifert on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram too. Yeah.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This was an absolute blast, and I love how you think through holistic health, and yeah, that you would take a soul care angle with me tonight.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we've gone there, and hopefully I'll be more people and have some really good conversations about spirituality in the future. So thank you everyone who has tuned into this episode. Thank you, Amy, again for being here, and we will see you on the next episode.
Sounds good. Thanks, Rose.
Thanks for listening to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. Do you know someone who could benefit from the information you just heard? Share the love by sharing this episode. Want to connect online? Check out thrivetribe419.com to leave a review or check out more episodes. You can also join the conversation by searching for Thrive Tribe 419 on Facebook or Instagram. See you next time. Keep thriving.